Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussion.
Hi. This is Ms. Sugar of Faith-Based Purpose. Today we're going to be discussing exploring the perfect will of God. We're also going to be discussing who is responsible for the tragic incidents in a person's life. Does God make bad things happen to teach us a lesson or get our attention? And what is meant by, so a man live, so shall he die. I am going to, at this time, play a song until the rest of our staff come on board. They have not called in yet, so I'm going to go into a song at this time.
My job.
that was, it's my job to let them see the Jesus in me. And again today, we're going to discuss exploring the perfect will of God. We're also going to discuss who is responsible for tragic incidents in a person's life. Does God make bad things happen to teach us a lesson or get our attention? And what is meant by, so a man lives, so shall he die? And I am your moderator, Ms. Sugar. I will be bringing the host. I don't think the hostess has called in yet. So, let's just, we're going to just give it another few minutes and we'll just play another song until we can get somebody on the line. Welcome back. Again, this is your moderator, Ms. Sugar. And as I bring everyone on the line, I am going to just go ahead and read Ephesians 1, 5 through 12. And I hope everyone is in agreement with me. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us all, in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, in him, according to the purpose of him who accomplished all things according to the counsel of his will. We who first hope in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. And I'm going to bring Evangelist Williams and Reverend Roosevelt Williams. I have joined us here, and we're going to bring them on the line.
Hello, God bless you.
How are you?
Good evening.
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm well. Is this Minister Bobby? No? Okay. Let's see, I have the wrong line then.
I just heard her speak.
Good evening.
Yes.
Good evening. How are you?
Everybody's running a little bit late and seem like a little bit sluggish this evening. So we're going to try to, I guess, get our minds and hearts on what we're here for today.
I was on the line, mm-hmm. and I could hear y'all talking, but nobody could hear me. So I hung up and I redialed back again.
Okay. All right. Well, we're here now, and I guess that's the main thing. And I'm not gonna leave Sister Regina out. Sister Regina, I'm not gonna leave you out.
No. Good evening. Praise the Lord. How y'all doing this evening?
We're blessed. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. We are. So everyone, I'm sure, is ready to get into this discussion, and we're gonna just explore the perfect will of God. I guess as a moderator, I'm going to ask, first of all, is there a perfect will of God? And let's begin with Evangelist Williams. We're going to begin with you.
Yes, I agree there is a perfect will of God.
Okay. And does everyone else agree, or is anyone else feel that there's a will of God, but maybe not a perfect will of God, or have a anything else? Okay. All right, then I guess that everybody we have an amen from everyone on that.
Amen.
Okay. Evangelist Williams, could you give us a scripture?
Okay. I totally agree with Ephesians 1, 5 through 12.
Okay.
And you've already read it. So Ephesians 4 and 23, we can look at that one. And I will just read it. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Okay.
Okay. I have Colossians 3 and 10. And I should have wrote these down, so if you hear me flipping, it's me. Colossians 3 and 10 says, and have put on a new man.
Okay.
Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All of these scriptures point to the perfect will of God. And I have several other ones, but I'll give somebody else a chance to share some of theirs.
Before we go to someone else, Ephesians 4 and 23, could you share with us how you feel that relates to the perfect will of God?
Ephesians 4 and 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yes, ma'am.
Jesus became perfect through the things that he suffered, and we were born in the flesh. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and becoming a new man is putting on and walking in the perfect will of God.
Okay. All right. And did you want to say something about Colossians 3 and 10?
Okay, Colossians 3 and 10. Okay. Colossians 3 and 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. This is putting on the knowledge of Christ. We walk in perfection as we learn him and know him. We walk in what we learn and what we know. You
okay.
can't walk in anything that you don't know.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. Now, before anyone else reads another scripture, okay, I was reading, going back to Ephesians, because, you know, I tell you, I always like to read the one before and the one after,
yeah.
kind of put them together, so that's what I was just doing, and it kind of lost my train of thought. Before we go on to another scripture, would anyone else like to say anything about the scriptures that you've already heard? Reverend William, you go. Would you like, are you there? Reverend Williams, are you there? Okay, he's not there? Oh, no, he's not there. That's my fault. I do apologize. I'm sorry, Reverend Williams. I had not opened your phone lines. Would you like to say anything about the scripture that you have already heard?
I didn't get a chance. My phone muted me out. During the reading.
So you could not hear the reading?
No, I was muted out and everything.
Because generally when I have you muted, you can hear it, but you can't respond at that time. Evangelist Williams read Ephesians 4 and 23 and
okay.
Colossians 3 and 10. So while you're going over that, Minister Bobby, do you go over that and I'll come back to you, Reverend Williams. We're gonna see, you know, what you have to say about those two before we move on. Minister Bobby, on those scriptures, do you have anything that you would like to share about those scriptures?
Well, in Galatians 3:10. Pastor talked about putting on the new man, and that means that the old man has to die. He has to pass away. It's back to that scripture: you can't put new wine in an old bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So that new, putting on that new man, that means the way you think, the way you look, the way you see things, the way you're understanding, and coming into the full knowledge of God's word, and allowing His Holy Spirit to direct that path. That's putting on the new man.
Okay. Okay. And that is the way you perceive it to relate to the perfect will of God.
Well, that's Galatians 3:10.
Yes,
ma'am. The way I relate to it also is in Romans 12.
Okay, but before we go to another scripture, we want to make sure everybody have a chance to say anything that they need to say about this, the first passages that Evangelist Williams have shared with us. We just kind of want to make sure everybody's on the same accord with everything. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Sister Regina, do you have anything to say about those two scriptures?
No, it's pertaining to the perfect will of God. You know, I understand it to be that. You know,
okay.
When I read over the scriptures myself, I always search scripture first.
Okay. Okay. Reverend Williams, are you in agreement with us with everyone that it does pertain to the perfect will of God?
Over in the book of Matthew.
Wait. We're just discussing Ephesians 4 and 23 first, and then Colossians 3 and 10.
Okay, Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 4 and 23, it calls for us to be in a renewed mind, that our mind should be set on God and walking in the newness and the life that God has given us.
Okay.
And that we should be walking as he created us in righteousness and in true holiness.
Okay.
Okay? And so the thing is, that is just one of the parts of what God has in his will for us to do as Christians and
okay.
as the church.
Okay.
Okay.
So that verse, we are in agreement, does have to do with exploring the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Okay. And
hello?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I got cut off. Okay.
We are in agreement that has to do, the renewing of the mind does have to do with exploring the perfect will of God.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Galatians. I tell you what. Let's move. Reverend Williams, give us two scriptures, please. And give us the scriptures first. And then come back and tell us how the first one relates to the perfect will of God, and then how the second one relates to the perfect will of God.
I'm trying to get into just it's hard here. I'm trying not to get into, but one thing about it is that Jesus said over in the garden. In the book of the four Gospels, let's just go to, I guess, in Matthew.
Okay, Matthew.
Let me see if I can find it. When Jesus was in the garden, when he came to the garden to pray after the Lord's Supper, he goes into the garden of Gethsemane.
Okay.
And you go to Matthew 14 and 35. Okay, and the one thing about it is that the only thing Jesus says is not my will. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You said that was 14 and 35?
He said, he said
14, 35 through, I meant 36.
Okay.
Okay. And then when we go into the book of John, the first thing Jesus says, one thing Jesus says over in the book of John, okay, when we look around about the, trying not to turn the pages up in here. In the book of John, around about the 13th chapter and the 34th verse, okay, this is just one part of that, because it was asked to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus really only gave two out of that, but here he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another. And all in lieu that Jesus asked, which was the greatest commandment? You know, and he asked, and it was said that love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And then the second one was love your neighbor as thyself. And the only thing it is that God wills us to walk in his commandments. Just as we look at the book of the scriptures that we have read over in Ephesians, is that the commandment is that we walk in a renewed mind. Okay? But also looking at that we walk in the order which God has commanded us. If we love one another, and if we treat one another, if we do the first one, love God, and if we love one another, okay, then it's showing that you are a servant, not just a disciple, but a servant, walking as a believer in Christ.
Amen. Reverend Williams, could I get you to repeat? I didn't, because I write down all the scriptures. The one in Matthew's, I still didn't find.
He said 14:35.
Oh, I said 13:35.
He said Matthew 14:35.
Okay.
In the book of, that was when Jesus came out of supper into the garden. And he prayed.
Yeah, and when the man, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him, and he begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. I've read to the 36.
Okay. So that was Matthew 14:35.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Hold on. It was.
You can find it and give it back to me if you, because I was just writing it down. I know I didn't see it in 13:35.
No.
Okay, hold on. I'll get it back to you.
Yeah, just get it back, because it was 14. It was Matthew 14:35.
Okay.
I wrote it down and I also pulled it up so that I could read along. Minister Bobby.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, give us two verses on. The perfect will of God, where we can.
Romans 12:2.
Romans 12. Okay.
And three or two?
Are you saying three and or two?
Romans 12:2.
I got that. Oh, two. Okay. That's what I couldn't tell if you were saying two or three. Okay.
This sounds kind of distant.
Second Timothy 3:17.
Oh, got that one.
Okay. Now, do you have it there to read to us, or?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You can go ahead and read Romans
12:2.
Okay, Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Amen.
Okay. And 2 Timothy 3:17.
Okay. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Okay. Now, give us what you got from Romans 12:2 first.
Okay. And be not conformed to this world. Don't do as the world do. Don't look at it in a, or say, well, I've learned that we have different spirits. That's a, help me, Holy Spirit. That's a worldly spirit. That's a Christian spirit. And then as a spiritual spirit. And when they say be not conformed to this world, there's a lot of people who are of this world, and they look at things as the world sees them. In celebrating all the holidays, or how they dress, or how they even their characters using slangs and different things, and he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." In other words, don't see things as the world sees, but see them in a spiritual, with a spiritual mind, according to God's word in His teaching. Teaching us how to renew our minds. He said that we may prove what is good and acceptable. Because sometimes we can see things in a natural mind, praise God. We see things in a natural mind that's not spiritual. But when we see things spiritual, we are looking at it in God's eyes, according to his word, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And only way we can prove his good and perfect will is in the word of God. We should use the word of God in how we are living, how we think, how we receive things and project things. Sometimes just incidents that happen to people, and they may feel that that shouldn't have happened that way. It's, this person should have overcome something by now or whatever. But that, to me, is looking at it in a natural. That's looking at it worldly. But when
okay.
we look at it spiritually, we'll see God's will being done in that.
Okay.
So that's the way I understood that to be.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything they want to say about that passage, that scripture?
I think it was well explained.
Okay. Amen.
We know when we are, the word conform means you just like something, but then when you get transformed, you're changed. And we
okay.
know that we have to put off the old man and put on the new and be changed from our worldly ways and stuff. And we be changed as our mind is renewed through the word of God. That's the only thing that's going to change us is his word.
Okay. That's right. Minister Bobby, 2 Timothy 3:17, how does that relate to the perfect will of God?
That the man of God may be perfect. We are the example of the word of God. We should walk in the word of God as we should walk in the word of God according to, praise God, according to John 5:30. And when we pray, he said, I come to do the will of the Father. So the man of God who set an example for the non-believer should walk thoroughly punished in all good works before man, that they may see God in the man of God.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to move to the next one. If no one else has anything else to discuss on that particular first reading. Amen?
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Well, let's move on then. Does God make bad things happen to teach us a lesson or to get our attention? This is a question and something that troubles a lot of people, you know, when something bad happens. We touched on this before because it's easy to say, you know, God let that happen to somebody. God made that happen to somebody. You don't often hear God let that happen. It's always God made it happen to teach them a lesson, or they weren't living right and God is showing them, or God, you know, whatever. And Sister Regina.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Regina?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Do you have a scripture for that?
Well, I had put it down, how do we move in the perfect will of God? I got that last question wrong. I thought it was but I got for that, you know, I found Hebrews 13:21.
Okay.
And James 1:4:17, you know.
Okay, now repeat the first one again for the listeners.
Hebrews 13:21.
Okay.
It says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, amen. Mm-hmm.
That's what I got. Like I said, I got the wrong, the last question that you just said wrong.
Okay. Okay.
How do you, you know,
about the perfect will of God?
How do we move in the perfect will of God, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 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 All right.
Okay.
What about the second part?
Okay.
Okay. James, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So you have to be patient and work in God's will, you know, so we can move in his perfect will.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Verse 17 was every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of light, with whom is no bare business, neither shadow of turning. So every good gift comes from God, not, you know, not me. So
all right.
Walk moving in it.
Okay. Okay. Well, and thank you for that. Now, now we're going to go on to, does God make the bad things happen to teach us a lesson or get our attention? Mr. Bobby, would you like to give us two verses that would help us with understand that?
No, ma'am, I need help with that myself.
Okay, and we have new listeners on, and we would like for the listeners to know that what we do here on Faith-Based Purpose, we do not debate, we discuss. And if you have a comment or a question, feel free to go to post it in the chat room, and it'll be read to the ones on the line, and we will do our best to find a scripture to help you with that. If you have a scripture to share that would relate to any of this, you are welcome to post it in the chat room as well. And we're all learning together. We do have our host, Evangelist Pat Williams, on the line, and we have Reverend Roosevelt Williams, is also co-host on the line. And Evangelist Williams, I know you're ready for this one.
Well, I don't have a scripture, so I would like for someone who found a scripture to read it.
Okay.
And let's discuss it. Because I was digging for the perfect will of God. I didn't know that we was going to have, you know, all the different topics.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's okay.
If anyone have one, if you will.
Reverend Williams had one because he's been studying since early this morning.
Okay.
I'm trying to grab some scriptures here. But there is a scripture in the Bible, and I'm quite sure many have heard it also. It says that God chastises those who he loves. And the thing is that there are things that God does do to us and chastises, because no way can he allow sin to just go and does not chastise. Even the children with you. I can share one that comes from let's just go to the book of Psalms. Let's just go there. And let's look at Psalm 69. And I hope it's close to what we're talking about. Let's just go to Psalm 69 and 10. I'm just doing a quick, I was trying to find this text, the text, and we couldn't get there. But let's just go to 69 and 10 in the book of Psalms, showing that God does chastise us. And there are things, and he does not cause them to come upon us. We cause them to come upon ourselves out of disobedience. And so when we're disobedient, as we're talking about walking in the perfect will of God, when you're walking outside of that, he has to deal with disobedience. What did I say, 6:9-10? Let's just look. It says, when I wept and chastened, my soul was fasting. That was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkard. And so one thing we know, that God does chasten, and he does cause us to fall into a shame. He doesn't, well, let me put it like this. He doesn't cause. It causes us to fall into a shame. Just as David had to go to the Lord and get on his knees and say, cleanse me in hyssop. It was that he caused sin to come up on him because he had did something wrong. And so in one part, we can cause our own self, that God does have to deal with our sin. That's the first part of what you talk about in that. Amen. Anybody?
Amen.
Amen. I guess I want to ask a question. Does God make bad things happen, or does God allow things to happen?
He allows.
He allows.
God is just God.
Because I'm wondering if we're saying that God makes bad things happen, where does Satan come into this? Because man has free will from all of our other discussions. So where does Satan come in?
Job 1:8.
What about Job 1:8?
Okay, if everybody go to the book of Job 1:8, everybody mostly, a lot of us know mostly about Job. And Job was a man who was the upright man. Didn't do anything. Anybody agree with me in that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Find,
so are we going to where Satan comes in,
things,
or are we discussing where
Satan comes
God
in?
Allows.
Well, first off, Satan steps in. It says now when you go to Job 1:6, it says now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so then it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, now here he just unleashes Satan on him. As thou consider my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and perfect. Now, remember, y'all talking about perfect will, and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. Okay, and here God just invites Satan. Okay, nothing Job did. But then in the book of James, it says, the book of James tells us to, I'm trying to get it how it goes, that the testing of our faith, that our faith is being tested. It's not God testing us. It's Satan that's going to test us. But God just opened it up for us to go through that. And it's one that we have to go through daily. But we have to remember, are we like Job, or are we just like ordinary people? Have we done what the scripture Minister Bobby read, being transformed by the renewing of our mind? Or are we going to allow Satan to take us under the attack? Well, the Bible says we are troubled on every side, and we're going to go, God is going to allow us to go into some trials and tribulations, because we are sent, we are here to be tried through the fires of life, to overcome the temptation. And by our own decision, somebody said, we have the free will and free mind to make up our own mind to do what we're going to do. And so here God opens it up to allow Satan to go and test Job. And as you keep reading, you'll find that that's what begins to take place. And he does not do it just here. He does come back again, getting the permission from God.
Okay.
And remember, Satan. Okay, go ahead.
Someone was saying something?
No, that was just me trying to clear my throat.
No, I heard I thought I heard someone else getting ready to say something. Minister Bobby, does that help you any?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
See, when Jesus was in the wilderness, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You're kind of faint. Your phone is always faint. It's like you're far away from it, but we can hear you. Go ahead and put your thought out there.
Okay, when Jesus was in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and came and tempted him and offered him the world, was it his to offer to Satan, to Jesus?
You're asking that question of?
Yes, ma'am. Any one of the pastors?
Evangelist Williams or Reverend Williams? Either one of you, just jump right in there.
Well, the devil, when he was cast down, he was the prince of the air. He was the prince of the air. Now, a lot of people have a debate about that. They say the devil offered Jesus something that wasn't his. But my understanding was that if you were reigning in authority at that time, he was cast out of heaven. The heaven wasn't his because he got uplifted up and was cast down. But we had that discussion before, and I think it was clarified and proven in the Word that it was his fault at the time.
Okay, we have a guest in the chat room when Christian speaks, says that God knows the outcome even if he allows it. Satan does not know the outcome, but God does.
I can agree with that.
Yes, okay. I can too.
Because he knows our end from our beginning.
Okay. Okay,
I do think that God has to allow Satan. You know, even though we know that he's the prince of the air, we also know that he's already defeated because he was cast down from a place where he was over the choir. But when we get uplifted in pride, God can't use us. And the authority of God cast him down. But he had enough pull down a third with him. So it's not him in power now, but it's his imps because he's already defeated. We're trying to get to where he was. And what makes the devil so mad? He can never go back to heaven. There's no room there for him. He's preparing a place for prepared people. That's why it's so important that we walk in the perfect will of God, because walking in our own will and way, we will never, 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 never get to the place he has prepared for us. So the devil already knows that he can't go back to heaven. That's why it seems like he's working so hard to keep us out of there. You know?
Okay.
So, you know, I just feel that we really need to do all we can and know that he's really defeated. No matter what it seems like or how it seems or how rough it gets sometimes, heaven mm-hmm. is not for him.
Okay.
He won't be able to walk in the perfect will of God. And I do believe, according to the word, that God allows. He has to give Satan permission to test his people.
Now, with that being said, I here's the thing. I guess I want to go a little bit farther with that. You know, bad things. First of all, we have to kind of go into whether they're bad things or whether they're not bad things, because if all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, so are those bad things? And now if we're talking about the wrongdoings and everyone does have free choice, wouldn't it make sense that I personally didn't find a passage that said that God allowed or make bad things happen. But in our day-to-day living and as faith walkers, believers, wouldn't it make sense, or would it make sense to say that, that God does give us the freedom to do, you know, to do right or wrong or good or evil or however you want to put it, and by us making the choices that we make, is there a time that God does allow us to allow things to happen? He does allow things to happen to bring us back, or to you know, to get us to understand, or to get our attention.
We're free moral agents, and you said something very interesting and important when you said that we can make choices. I'm telling you, sometimes things that happen to us, it's because of the choices that we make.
I agree with that.
It's because of the choices that we make.
I agree.
I made some wrong choices, but I had to suffer the consequences. You know, but the Bible says that in all of your ways, I think it's what, Proverbs 3 and 6, Proverbs something, in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Now, we won't make any wrong choices if we allow God to make the choices for us. But sometimes, as we were talking about perfect will, sometimes it just doesn't seem too fair to us or too right to us, or it doesn't seem like it's God. Some of the things seem so far out that's really the perfect will of God to our understanding, and we choose not to walk in it.
Okay.
But the choices that we make, if we make the wrong ones, that's not in the will of God, then we're just going to have to be stuck with it until he reverses it or allows us to come out of it. But I do believe that the Lord allows. Satan knows God because he was up there with God.
Okay.
We know God through the Word. So we've got to be sharp enough in the Word to know what the will of God is and what choices to make. Because we are human and because we are adults doesn't mean we make the right choices. And because we are saved doesn't mean all of a sudden we make the right choices either.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Sister Regina, let's hear your comments on this. Is she there?
Yes, I'm here. My
Come on, we got to speak up for the Lord now. We got to speak up for the Lord.
I mean, you know, he allows things, but, you know, like, we just got to make the right choice. We just got to know that when we make the choices, it's the right choice that God give us to make, so we won't make the wrong choices. We just got to trust and have faith in him and just believe and, you know, do his word. Just stay in his word. In his word, you know.
Okay. And I agree with everything that's been said. And our listeners in the chat room also said amen. When we praise God, we really make Satan mad.
Yes.
On that same topic, and I keep coming up with different questions because, you know, when you talk about that, and you think back over your life, and Minister Bobby, you may be having some of the same. When you said that you need some help understanding that yourself, there have been times in my life where I've seen things happen, and I wondered, you know, does a person, let's say something that bad would happen. You lose someone close to you, and I guess those are the kind of things that I you may share in common with what I'm asking. Say you lose someone close to you, and I brought this up before. You lose someone time after time after time. Now to the flesh person, to you, that's something bad. Even though, you know, we know that there's a better place, but it's, and I know that that's a selfish thing, but we feel like there's something bad, and then something else come along that happens, and that's something bad. You know, it's constantly something that you feel is bad that's happening, and to you. And you may be, and I had this talk with someone, and you may be, you know, doing what you believe is, let's say right, because we're going to say right and wrong here. Or the person, say the person that it happened to, someone may say, well, you know, that person, did, you know, they wasn't living right, and God is showing them. God is showing them. You know, God did this to them to teach them a lesson. So is that something that God does? Does God hurt you to teach you a lesson? You know what I'm – does anyone understand where I'm going with this?
I understand what you're trying to say. Say, for instance, the bombings and the shootings, things like that. You know, people tending to their own business, living their everyday lives, however they live it, or whatever. I don't think that God has to cause a tragic to get people's attention.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that God has to cause a tragic. But sometimes we wonder if it's the will of God that it happened like that. I understand what y'all are saying. I understand what you're asking and the questions you're asking. And I don't know whether this is clarification or not. But say, for instance, now I've heard this when we were children, we heard, you know, you hold things close to you and God will take it. To me, that mm-hmm. sounds like a mean God. The Bible says God is a just God.
Okay.
And just in now. All of his ways. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't think that he would take David from me after he blessed mm-hmm. me with David
mm-hmm.
to get my attention.
Okay. Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, I can find in his word where he tell me how to live right. And
okay.
he tell me how to do right.
Okay.
And so I cannot say that God took my baby from me.
Okay.
Even though he died four times. I can't say that God took him from me after he blessed me with him.
Okay.
You
and
know,
and that's where I'm going because and eventually you hit it right where I was trying to go because I had a conversation with someone and I told them, I said, you know, it's the way that you explain things to people. Because the person that I was talking with, the same question came up. And the person told me, they said, well, yeah, you know, because God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and this is the way it was put. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so he could drown him. And I said, well, you know, if you take it out of context, you know, if you take it like that, that's what happened. If you just go straight to the point with it, but if you're gonna teach somebody, if I go to my 10-year-old grandson and I say, well, you know, God did this to Pharaoh so he could drown him, and then he did this, and he drowned up. You know, he only let so many people get on the ark, and the rest of them was just killed. My grandson is probably going to say, well, you know what? I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I don't want to have
why you want me to
God.
Go to church? Why are you trying to get me to go? You know,
okay.
If you take it, if you listen to some of the things that are said, you can, a non-believer or a new child in Christ could be led to believe that we're serving a cruel God.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. Because you do hear that there have been people that I've known that have lost their children, just like you said. And, well, you know, that's God trying to show us something. That's God trying to teach you a lesson.
Mm-hmm. You know, you remember when she did thus and so, and now
you know,
he's just getting her back.
Yes,
you know, and we shouldn't say things like that because the Bible
says what I'm trying to
God
get
is
to.
A loving God. Mm-hmm. You know, and he did punish the children of Israel. He mm-hmm. does punish sin. He
mm-hmm.
does punish sin. But
mm-hmm.
he already told us about it in the Word. He already told us, and he told us we was going to reap what we sow. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can't blame God if things happen. You think about it. Are you just reaping something that you sowed? Or did you just, you know, or did you just do something that you know, that you're going to, everything that you plant is going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
You plant good seeds, good's coming.
Mm-hmm.
If you plant bad seeds, what's going to come up? Whatever you plant is going to come up. So we just need to be mindful and know that God's not going to let me get by. Why would I think that God would let me get by with something and punish somebody else for doing the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
not mean. He's just.
Okay.
He's just.
Okay. Reverend Williams, are you there? Reverend Williams, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Do you have anything you would like to add? Let's talk with a Christian tone.
No, I'm just saying,
you know I'm just messing with you. Go ahead on. I'm messing with you.
I'm trying to find everything right there. It's a pretty long scripture, but once again, back in the book of Job, and let everyone know that we don't serve a mean God. One
Amen.
Thing he feels to forget is that he is a God. The earth is his,
mm-hmm.
and the fullness thereof.
Mm-hmm.
He had a right to do if he allowed his own son to go on a cross. He knew what it means. He was doing it because he was saving us.
Amen.
The thing is, what is God's reason is his reason.
It's his reason.
God says, all things work together for the good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look in the book of Job, see, people fail to understand the book of Job said that when Satan came, he said, have you tried? But we didn't read the whole, you have to read the whole thing. Because
Amen.
Job, understand, Job had land,
mm-hmm.
Job had money,
Richard
Job
Mary.
Had cattle, Job had family, didn't
he? Amen.
And if you look in the book of Job, he lost mm-hmm. his children.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't nothing Job did. The wager was, he will curse you to your face. But Job never cursed his God. Because it says that if you read the chapters, it says, and the Lord said, chapter 1, verse 12, so everybody can be with me, and those that's on computer, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he had is in thy power. God wants us to recognize not that he caused it, not that he did it, but he allowed things to happen for a purpose and a reason.
That's right.
And that it doesn't matter because he gave me a child, he took it away. I had things given to me and took away right then and there. But it was for God's reason. If we want to say, if we're going to talk our first lesson, being in his perfect will, you have to accept that which is come. And it ain't because every time something happened, we done something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because. And so it says, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself, Job himself, understand, put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth and from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters was eating and drinking. His,
mm-hmm.
these his children now.
Mm-hmm.
Born to his own, from his own flesh. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servant. Innocent people. And so we have to remember that God is God, and everything is done for a reason. I preached a sermon one time at a funeral, and the Lord struck me and made me to come to really understand, just because we go on our knees and pray to the Lord to save a loved one that's laying there on the sick bed dying and in pain, we feel that because God took him away, that he's a mean God. Or a child come into this world with a bad disease, he's a mean God. No, he's still God. But because we have to remember sin set into the world. And the things that all diseases and everything came into this world when man was disobedient. Yes, Jesus went up on the cross. He healed us. But just because we prayed that somebody come off that deathbed don't mean that God failed. He took them out of the pain and suffering you paid for. You prayed for. You just didn't do it the way you liked. It's how we felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't do a burger. He didn't do a Burger King. He didn't answer prayer in a Burger King way. He did it his way.
Right.
He wanted special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on his own sesame bun. Okay. He didn't fix it up the way you want. Everything is the Lord and the fullness that will create it for his purpose. Okay?
All right.
That's right.
All right. In the chat room, our guest says, even though we make bad choices, there will always be an outcome of those choices, but God will take those bad choices and turn it around for our good. Although the outcome of the choices we make can be bad, it rains on just and the unjust.
Amen. Can I share something?
Please do.
Yes, ma'am.
And Reverend William, that was awesome. We really appreciate that.
Amen. My confusion came because I always believed God to work through love.
Mm-hmm.
Before the foundation of the world, when we needed a Savior, he gave us his Son. And it was love that put Jesus on that cross. It was through that same love that he reached out to us. This is why when we praise him, we say he's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of faithfulness. He's a God of grace. He's
Amen.
A God of mercy. But mostly we say a God of love. And we'll say he's so good, he's so good, he's so good. So when I hear people saying that God did this and that, and like you say, for a non-believer or a new covenant, they wouldn't know how to look at God if we saying he's so good, but yet we got people saying that God is destroying and killing. And I went on and I looked up Luke 4 and verses 6.
Luke 4 and 6. Okay.
I'm going to start with verses 5.
Okay.
Luke 4 and 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore would worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve.
Amen.
So my question was, thank you, Jesus.
Okay, amen.
That's
was it here to give?
To offer, because the scripture plainly says that this was given to him.
Mm-hmm. That's why
he
I
said, all this
that.
Power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, whatever I will, I give it.
Right.
So, in my mind, Satan used distraction to get people to blame God and to doubt God. Because if he can blame God for all the ugliness, then the people would be afraid to serve a bad God. Or if he can get them to doubt God, they won't have faith in God that he would heal, deliver, protect, or provide supply for them, whatever their need may be. So this death, because the word scriptures say Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
things we're talking about are in that line. But then he go on to say, Jesus, the one he gave out of love for the remission of our sins and the reconciled back unto the Father, said he came to give life and life more abundantly.
Right.
It's confusing to me that people would blame God when the scriptures are plainly saying who's who in doing these things. Now, I agree with Reverend Williams about Job. I agree with him in that. But I also see that that was before Jesus' time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when he came, all that change that was done back then. So now we're living in the New Testament, and Jesus is on the scene, and he sent his son for the remission. For whatever, he said he came not to change the law, but that through Jesus it might be fulfilled. So this is why it was confusing to me, because it hurt me that people would blame God for everything. They blame him every time something happened, even though it worked together for the good. Those are to believers. He said to those that who love me and who are the call according to me.
That's right. The call.
Given to believers. So this is why it was confusing to me, and it does hurt when people blame God and the scripture plainly saying who's causing what. So that's why I was puzzled at that.
Okay. Amen on that, Minister Bobby. Minister Bobby, I have a question on something that was just said. Now, let me think about that for me. How I want to do that. How I want to ask that question before I ask it. Does anyone else have a comment on what was said?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay, no problem. Go ahead.
We have to remember, Job was back there, but now Job is still being done with Jesus on the cross. And also, it was done what took place in the garden. It was Jesus in the wilderness. In the garden, sin set in because Adam failed to follow obedience to God. And Jesus came flesh to be tested in that flesh. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in that flesh, he had to exemplify to believers. Satan can't give you what God already has placed there. And the thing is, Satan was trying to get Jesus in the flesh to fall to what Adam in the flesh. It is why they call, that's why it's called the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam failed. But the second Adam was obedient.
Amen.
And so, just as Solomon was given a question, God said, ask for whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Reason why Solomon didn't ask for gold and silver and all that, he was king, already had it. What are you going to do that for? So the best thing he knew to ask for was he used the wisdom that he was given, was the knowledge to ask out of his own self the knowledge to have wisdom to lead God's feet. So here Jesus had to say, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shall only shalt thou serve. So Jesus already knew he came from God. He already had, he looked at what Satan already talking about. And he knew that once he fulfilled it all that God wanted him to do, he's going to be right back on the right hand of the Father. And all that Satan come like giving him, it was going to be his in due season. It's just that we want right now stuff. And we think because God allows something to happen, we want to blame God and think he's a mean God. And that is only for those who are not believers. Or who haven't really come to really believe.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks call that they are saved, but yet soon as something happens, they feel like God abandoned them and failed them. than at those who don't even know God had even confessed them in his in their lives. Okay? So they don't know how to deal with the problems that come toward that comes our way. You see, just as Paul and them went through, they said that the Spirit, they looked, the Spirit sending us over to Macedonia. And what happened to them? Got beaten. But the outcome of it, which somebody just said, sometimes we, there are things that come, but it, in the end it might be bad, but the good comes on. And it's whether you're doing good, it's whether you've done nothing, or it's whether you've done something. And so this is how God works in a way where we're trying to mostly figure him out instead of just walk, what we say, in his will. Okay?
Okay. So are you saying Satan has nothing to do with the destruction that's going on in the world, with the way people believe?
Yeah, I mean, God gave him some leeway. We can't walk in it. Just think as how it was if it wasn't. We'd be, what type of world we'd be in if everything was just so peaceful? If I woke up and in my house with peace every day and everybody just, oh, I love you and this and that, and that, I have to go back outdoors and come back in. Well, I know I can't be on that address. But I'm just saying that God, when he, the same thing that he exemplified in the book of Job, he did it over in Jeremiah 2. He said, I'm going to unleash, he let him know, I'm getting ready to unleash never fail. And that was because of the disobedience.
We should blame God?
No, you don't. What I'm saying is, you have to recognize it's God's will. I didn't say blame God. I say recognize.
Yeah, that's
his will.
Right.
And his will is going to be, it looks like it ain't just shield. It's going to be done.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not. Okay? So you don't blame God. You're supposed to thank God.
Okay.
Because even Job had to say, shall we love God just for the good and not for the evil?
That's right.
So he wants to thank him, and no matter what, we should always thank him. Amen?
Amen. Reverend Williams, I wanted to ask a question. Mr. Bobby?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. A little while ago, you were saying that, and I want to kind of understand this. You were saying that that the things that were said were in the Old Testament, and we're living in the New Testament. But it's been my understanding, and Evangelist Williams, Reverend Williams, Minister Bobby, Sister Regina, any of you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm still learning. But it's always been my understanding, and I think we mentioned this before, that Jesus came not to change, but to fulfill the purpose.
That's the Bible.
And so if he came to fulfill the purpose, from previous discussions, I was under the impression that we're still living according to the Old Testament.
Well,
is that right or wrong?
Well, as far as sacrificing the blood of animals on the altar and
right, I know that there are some things that
we can't do that kind of stuff. But
right,
the fulfilling that Jesus came to do, he was the blood sacrifice. In fact, he was the sacrifice.
Amen.
Period. So we cannot live under the old law. There are things in the old Bible Now, you run references, and you find out, and I know the ones of you who studied and just kind of dug in the Bible and looked at this, there are things, there are scriptures in the Old Testament that there are no
way that we can do it
and no
time.
References in the New, right?
Uh-huh.
See, so he, I don't know how he fixed it so unique and so perfect or so whatever, but we were taught, and the Bible says that he didn't come to change anything. He come to fulfill that was already done.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
We can't live according to things that are under the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace and truth. Thank God for grace and truth, because I couldn't make it under the law. I'm still too mean sometimes to make it under the law. I can't make it under the law now. So don't take me back over there.
Okay.
But to help everybody understand what she's saying is that the thing is that he came to fulfill it and fulfill
right.
it. He came to make it better.
Right.
Yes.
Than what it was.
It's actually easier
but
for us
but
to
do we
it
put
way.
Away the Old Testament, the old law? Do we just completely put that away?
No,
because,
we can't,
you know,
because it's the foundation that the new is built on.
Okay.
Let me see, can I sum it up? It wasn't done away. It was
right.
made better. Let me
yes.
show you an example.
Okay.
There was a young lad, Jesus said unto the man, go sell all that you have.
Yeah.
And so he told him, go, and he goes, I had this since this, and but he says, I've done all this stuff, but it was two things that the young man missed it. And Jesus said, all these you've done. And so he told him the first two scriptures, which is in the Old Testament, which is the first two of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments hadn't left. But the thing is, we don't too much quote the whole Ten Commandments, because why? The first two, love God with all thy heart. Love your neighbor as thyself, is in the other eight. If you love God, then you're going to treat your neighbor right. And if you treat your neighbor right, you ain't going to do him no harm.
Dang,
you ain't going to try to hurt him. You ain't going to try to kill. You ain't going to try to steal. You ain't going to try to lie on it. You ain't going to do all that. So it's only fulfilled it because they were trying to put a rule. But God put it in our heart to have a willingness to do right toward one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing it is. But the old law, we try to live that, good luck.
Yeah, because it made it easier for us to live. We can't do away with it because the new, the foundation of the old, the new is built on the old.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
you know,
and even Sister Sugar helped out today. We were laughing today, and she laughed so hard, we were talking about forgiveness. And Jesus said 70 times 70. We were saying, ain't nobody. What was that question?
I wanted to know, can anybody commit 490 sins a day? You know, there's some people that'll go out there and give it a good old try.
Yeah.
I'm like, you good if you do.
Yeah.
I told him, Evangelist Williams,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? I say, back in my days, I was right around the corner. He said, you ain't never been that close. You might as well stop. But you know, there's some people that you know, they'll try that 490. Well, let me see how many I can get in today.
Right.
So,
right. You know, or there are people, I still got some left. I haven't done but three.
Right,
so
right.
Two, so I can really make it good.
I want to keep sharing what we're getting in the chat room. Our chat room guest says God is good as a good sound doctrine is lacking on the airways today. I encourage people to seek out sound doctrine. And he also says, amen, there are well over 650 ordinances of the law. Thank God for
that's
grace.
Evangelist
William, when you said if it wasn't for grace, you know. Yeah, so they say thank God for grace. So,
it's 600 and something. I have trouble trying to do at least one.
All right, amen. Now we're gonna go on to our next topic, and we have a little time left, but in a few minutes I'm gonna make an announcement for the callers. I mean, for the chat room guests, if you want to hear the remainder of the show, that you I think they have their own shows also, and I do want you to put in the chat room the name of your broadcast so that I can also announce that on here. So, you know, when we have time, some of us are, we like to just, I know I do, I go and visit other shows and learning is learning. We want to know. The other part of this is, so a man live, so shall he die. And what is meant by that? Now, according to everything that we have said today, and I know some of you did not understand how all of it would lead in together, and these questions just kind of come to me. If I write one, then I just something else to come to me. Okay, well ask this and ask this. So it all did tie in together. Now, if we're going to live according to the perfect will of God, and we are, as we have said today, have made choices. We have free will to make choices. Okay, and we know that God does not make bad things happen, but he does allow things to happen, and because we do have free will. So now, what is meant by so a man live, so shall he die? Now, I know that there are scriptures that in that are there that reference this, and it may not be in those words, because we say things and use terminologies that may not be scripture. We put them in our own words that where we can understand it, or if we explaining it to a child, they can understand it. So I'm gonna ask Minna. Well, let me ask, is she still there? Sister Regina, did you find a scripture concerning that? And if you didn't, don't worry about it, because I know somebody did. So that,
no,
and that's
not
what we
really
do here. You know, we work together. I have a son. He always say, teamwork make the dream work.
Yep.
So that's what we're doing here. We're making the dream work. So just let me know if you have something that you want to share on so a man live, so shall he die.
Okay. Sister Regina, did you find it? It's in Matthew 26:51-52.
Yeah, I found it.
Okay. Would you read that to us? Or Evangelist, would you like to read it?
I have it.
Okay.
It's
either one, it doesn't matter.
26:51-52.
Okay.
And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And, you know, we were saying, the way a person lives, that the way he die. And, you know, we just say, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Well, that's the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the word.
Okay. All right. Minister Bobby? Sister Regina, how about you?
That was my thought. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Wherever you live, you know, whatever you do in life, and, you know, if it's good, you're going to reap good things, but if it's bad, you're going to reap what you sow. So if you sow good things, you're going to reap good things, but if you sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things.
All right.
It's going to come back on you.
All right. All right. Reverend William.
Yeah.
Minister Bobby left us.
Huh?
Minister Bobby left us. Reverend Williams, while you're doing that, I'm going to play a little insert here. So just take a minute and do that.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, this is Miss Sugar with Faith-Based Purpose with your host, Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams, and I, Miss Sugar, am your moderator. We would like to thank you for tuning in. If you would like to call in and be a participant in the discussion, please call 718-305-6798. Again, 718-305-6798. We welcome you to join our discussion. It is not a debate. It is a discussion based on Scripture. So again, please give us a call, 718-305-6798. Now let's get back to our discussion.
All right, Reverend Williams, are you ready?
Not really. I ran across something. I can't pick it up again. And this here concordance is a long book, and I'm trying to catch it on my computer.
Okay, tell me where
I can't tell you. I kind of ran across it today through my computer. I have a Bible in my computer, and it was saying, as a man lives, as a man dies, so shall he live. I think that's how it goes. If anybody finds that, that's the only thing. I pulled up all the things that she put it, that was put the other way was, and I hate to say, and I don't want to just say concrete, but I do know that as a man live on this side, it is appointed that he die on this side. But that doesn't, I mean, as a man die on this side, that means he can have eternal life when the time comes. He can live again. You know, I do know that much. It's even as Job said, it says a tree, when it is cut down, and the stump is not, the root of it is not removed, it can still raise up again. And so long as we are grounded and rooted in Christ, the body may die, but the soul can still live on no matter what. Okay? But that's a kind of, I mean, if somebody, I understand what they're saying out of, what was that in Matthew?
Matthew 26. Matthew
26, 51,
and 52.
Mm-hmm.
What
did
that say again?
Okay. 26, 21, 52. Yeah, that's 51, where 52. It speaks of, you know, when if you live by the sword,
by
you
the
die
sword,
by the
sword. You die by the sword.
But now, Reverend Williams, I see where you are coming from. There are several passages, and one is Job 14 and 14, if someone dies, will they live again? And then in John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah, that's the, that's
okay,
one
that,
I
that
said,
would
that's
be one.
One I
that's
thought.
What he was talking about.
Job.
Okay.
That's the
okay.
One.
Well, you were talking about the one in Job?
Right. That's it. That's it. Okay.
Job 14 and 14.
Job 14
yeah.
and 14.
That's it. Okay.
Okay.
The one.
All right, then.
Okay, when a man died, would he come back to life? If so, I would wait all the days of my struggle until my relief comes.
Okay. Evangelist Williams, if you have it, would you read it so that our listeners will be able to hear it, or you want me to?
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to read it out of King James. I have both of my Bibles here. But I'm going to read out of King James for them. That's Job 14 and 14. It says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes.
Amen. There we go.
Okay.
That's it. There we go.
All right. Okay. Now, is that basically the same as living by the sword and dying by the sword?
No, two different images.
I think it's two different
There's two different meanings of scripture.
It has two different meanings.
It's
and even for St. John 3:16 he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Even that one.
Yeah.
You know, however you live, that's how you're going to die. If you live good, you got to tell God.
Because you have to believe in him. That's
right.
That's what it says.
Raggedy. Hey, you headed for eternal damnation. But either way it goes, now you're going to die. You live
okay.
it, but you're going to die. So you're going to have to choose the way you die.
Okay.
So we can choose the way we die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to explain that? Give a little bit more details on that for the listeners.
Choose the way we die.
Yes.
If you live right, you're going to inherit eternal life. And if you live like you want to live, you're going to inherit something, but it's going to be eternal damnation. Our pastor often say you're going to get a paycheck, and you know every man is going to be rewarded according to his works. He's you're going to get a paycheck. In the end, but like on a natural job, if you don't do nothing, you're not going to get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No bonuses, no nothing. No recognitions. But in this life, if you live right, if you do the will of God and walk in his will and his way and keep his commandments, you will inherit eternal life. That's a real good paycheck signed by Jesus. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
That's the check we want, huh?
That's the check I want. I mean, I don't want to take nothing less. That check.
All right. Okay. All right. Reverend, who do we have on? Well, Minister Bobby left us.
She may have had to go do something.
Okay. Sister Regina, jump in there and share some words with us.
I was looking at, when you read 14 and 14, uh-huh. I went over to 13 and 15. It says,
okay.
It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Yet though they slay me, yet the enemy may slay me, I will trust in God.
Amen.
You know, the ways of God.
Okay. All right. Our chat room guest shared Romans 14:8, King James Version, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord.
All right.
So we live, therefore,
amen.
Or die, we are the Lord.
The Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, now, Sister Regina, give us your final thoughts for today. As kind of just sum up all the topics that we've spoke on and anything you want to share about that.
All the topics that we spoke on, the perfect will of God, and does God make bad things happen to us? Okay, you know, it's just being in his will, and you just got to stay focused on, his will and stuff, and, you know, the things that happen to us, you know, God allows it so he can make us stronger and have more trust and faith in him. And what was the last one? I don't have it written down, so I don't remember what was the last one.
Amen.
What was the last, Sister Regina?
Yeah, the last.
Okay, it was what is meant by so a man lives, so shall he die?
It's just your lifestyle, the lifestyle that you live on this earth before God and man. You know, you got to live a righteous life.
Sister Moderator, can I share one more scripture before we...
Okay. Let me make sure that Sister Regina was finished.
Okay. Amen.
Sister Regina, are you finished? Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
It made me lose my train of thought. Just go on.
Well, we'll come back to you. We'll come back to you to just you know, we don't want to leave anything unsaid. Reverend Williams, go ahead and I share the scripture. What are you sharing the scripture on? Which one of the
last topic we talked about? Shall a man live? Shall he die? Go to Book of John, chapter 11, verse 25. A great familiar verse there. And
okay, so that was John 11:5. Is that right?
No, 11:25.
11:25. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to read it to us?
Yes. Yeah. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So I guess that's the two parts of your question right there. Okay.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
I just want to share the scripture. I'm not going to elaborate.
Okay, well, would you like to let's go to Evangelist Williams first. And let Evangelist Williams?
Yes.
Would you kind of give us a summation of, well, before we do that, on if everybody knows how to, let me do this first. Our Facebook fan page is Faith Based Purpose. And I need everyone to go there and like the page. Keep updated on when the shows are going to be, and I'm doing this now because we're going to be getting close to the end of our show here shortly. And it's just facebook.com/ Faith Based Purpose. That's where it is. Also, I want to share that our listener has a Blog Talk radio show also, same as we're on, and it is When Christians Speak with Reverend Ray. So you can, if it's difficult for you to get to, just go to our fan page and click on any of our links, and from there you'll be able to see the people on the shows on the side there that we follow, and you'll see When Christians Speak on the side of there. And that way, you know, we can come and listen. You'll get notifications, or I'll let you guys know when they're going to be on. And, you know, we'll just kind of support one another.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Now, Evangelist Williams, if you would give us your take on today's topics.
Well, I've enjoyed the Word of God this evening explained so richly on the perfect will of God and how to get in His will and what we need to do. And all the topics have been well explained. And I can't remember them all, you know, right off the top of my head because I forget. But I have enjoyed all the scriptures. I've got them written down. And believe me, I'll go back and I'll study over them again and dig some more out and learn some more of the Word because I love the Word. And I have enjoyed all the scriptures and all the explanations that have been shared with our co-host and all of our participants this afternoon. And I would like to make an announcement before we get off the show tonight.
Okay. As soon as Reverend Williams, give your summation of the show. And I thank you for that, Evangelist Williams, and I want to put a big amen on that because I have really enjoyed it as well.
Okay. Amen.
I have enjoyed it, too. Believe me, you all have helped open my mind to something and
amen.
Made me aware of some things also. And, too, those who are listening, or rather in the chat room, thank you for you have shared and opened some things, because we all don't know everything.
Amen.
We can all help each other to learn and to know as we grow and as we
That's
go
right.
along this Christian life. But also
Amen.
Remember that God wants us to walk in His will and in His perfect will, that we
Amen.
May be perfect through Christ. And also understanding that things that come in our lives, whether it's good, whether it's bad, God allowed it to happen for because He loves us,
Amen.
Not because He hates us or dislikes us. And the thing is that if you live this life, to die, to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord,
Amen.
You can have a life on this side, you can have the life on the other side.
That's right.
May God bless you and may He keep you.
Amen.
Amen. Before I end the show, we have a listener that has called in to have a word. So we want to give them a moment to have a word. 936-442, are you there?
Yes, my name is Minister Rose. I'm a friend of Evangelist Bobby, and I got on Rebel H. She shared with me earlier that you all would be on, but I was not able to get on in the beginning. But what I did hear, I did enjoy, and the topic, the perfect will of God, is a very, very broad and fruitful topic, and you all did a wonderful job, and I do plan to get on in the future. I believe I missed the schedule that you will be coming on again, and I'll try and get on a little bit earlier the next time.
Amen.
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 Well, we're honored to have you, as well as honored to have the guest in the chat room. The times that we're on, the definite time that we're on is Monday at 6:30 Central Time.
Okay.
6:30 p.m. Central Time. Now, the thing about faith-based purpose is if someone brings us a topic that they can't wait for an explanation on, we do come on Thursdays like today at 6:30. We have been known to come on Tuesdays. Some of the discussions that we've had, they've just, I guess, just stirred everyone up so much we just followed over on Tuesday. So, like I said, we have the page on Facebook. If anyone is on Facebook, it's Faith Based Purpose. We have a fan page there, and it's always posted there when we're going to be on. You can always post it, you know, check there, or you can check blogtalkradio.com/faith-based-purpose, and the schedule will always be up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you
so
much.
No problem. Now, Evangelist Williams, give your contact information. If anyone is listening and have would like to continue a discussion with Evangelist Williams, Reverend Williams, or anyone on the call, or contact us, you can message us through the Blog Talk site, blogtalkradio.com/faith-based-purpose. Evangelist Williams, give them contact information on where you're located and how to reach you and your any upcoming events.
Okay, I'm Evangelist Patricia Williams from the Savings Place Holiness Church. My pastor is Elder James Williams at 1618 Exeter in Dallas, Texas. Our assistant pastor is Evangelist Patricia Burns. Now, on May the 3rd, which is tomorrow, the 4th and the 5th, we have our Saints Revival at 1618 Exeter, and we would like everybody to come out and worship the Lord with us on May the 9th, 10th, and the 11th. I will be conducting a women's conference at the New Greater Deliverance Church in Waxahachie, Texas. The pastor is Elder David Williams, and the co-pastor is Evangelist Earlene Williams. And on May the 24th at 9 o'clock and the 25th at 9 until 2, we will be on Wintergreen Road in Dallas, Texas at the Higher Marks Church. We will be at a women's conference there. And we just would like all of you to come out any of these events. As you can see, I will be in women's conferences all this month. You guys pray for me because I'm going to need your prayers. And my contact number is 972-493-1953. And you can call me. My prayer line is open 24 hours a day.
Amen. Reverend Roosevelt Williams, give them your contact information. And
amen. My name is Reverend Roosevelt Williams. I am an associate minister at the Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church here in Houston, Texas. We are located at 3741 Coleman Street, where Reverend J.D. Dinkins is the pastor. And you cannot reach us. You can call our church at area code 713-673-6309, or you can go on our website at blessedhopembc.org. You can reach me at email me, or you can email me at RooseveltWilliams279 at gmail.com, or you can reach me at phone number 979-525-8533. And I'm there 24/7. You can call and share, or if there's anything you'd like to talk or invite, I invite you out to our church, where we have Sunday school starts at 9 a.m. for those who are in the Houston area. We have worship service start at 10:30. I invite you to come out and worship with us. We are a Bible-based teaching church. And
amen.
We do invite anyone. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to come. If you're looking for one and you don't want to be at our church, we will direct you to one that you can be comfortable with. And we don't laugh. We don't make jokes. We all help each other in the body of Christ. So I just
amen.
Thank you, and I bless you all.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Now, I have an announcement on behalf of J. Spivey Productions. J. Spivey Productions present the Gigantic Gospel Concert of 2013 in Huntsville, Texas, Sunday, September 15th. It will feature Pastor Shirley Caesar, LeAndrea Johnson,
amen.
Kathy
amen.
Taylor, and Favor. And on this show, it will be Tamala Mann and David Mann. Now, you know them as Mr. Brown and his daughter, Cora.
Okay.
David Mann will be the host of the show in Huntsville, Texas, that Sunday, September the 15th at the Bernard G. Johnson Coliseum. The tickets can be purchased at ticketweb.com, or you can call 866-468-7621. Now, Dallas, Texas, you're not left out, because they will also be there. Now, David Mann will not be hosting that show. It will be hosted by Pastor Kim Burrell in Dallas, Texas, at the Friendship West Church. That's September the 14th. So you'll get them before we will in Huntsville, Texas.
All right.
And I will be driving to Huntsville, Texas to see them, because I want to see Mr. Brown with all his colorful clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And again, that's J. Spivey Productions Presents the Gigantic Gospel Concert. God bless you. You can purchase the tickets again at ticketweb.com online, or call 866-468-7621.
Amen.
Okay. And again, I want to thank everyone for another wonderful, wonderful discussion. And I think we all got something out of this. It's great when we can all come together and understand that everybody can read the same scripture, the same passage, and each one can have something to share about it.
Amen.
You know, that's wonderful, and that's what we want to do. So we will be back Monday night for sure, but be sure and check back to see if something else has been posted, because we will, if someone come up with a scripture or something, a concern or a question that's on their heart that has to be discussed, then we will bring it to them. It'll be discussed.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And everyone,
right?
Yes. Yes, Evangelist Williams?
Yes.
Were you saying something?
Oh, I was just saying God bless all of you and have a good night.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night, all. Good night to our guests.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
You know, so many times we as entertainers experience a little success in our careers and forget all about who brought us and the journey it took to get there. Well, I wrote a little song about the story of my life and how much I really thank the Lord for keeping me down through these years. Lord, you've really been good to me.
Now my dad left home when I was 8 years old. He passed away in 1998. God rest his soul. I had to grow up real, real fast, 'cause I was the oldest boy of two. Tried my best to be the man and help my family make it through. Now I made some mistakes, but I learn from them all. My grandparents told me, no matter what happens, some just stand tall. They told me to put my trust in Jesus. He would always make a way. So I tried him for myself, y'all. And now I can say, because I thought I was grown, didn't know what I was doing.